What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lamb. I'm your host, Angel Lamb. Today I'll be sitting with Morenita and Jeffrey Vasquez. Morenita is the CEO and Jeffrey is the VP of operations of a grassroots organization called Let's Give. Let's Give is a grassroots volunteer organization created by high school students across LA, joined to give via community, culture, and global initiatives. They provide monthly volunteer opportunities to high school and college students to empower and maintain a movement of love, compassion, and support. Their mission is to connect like-minded and deliver change. They unite high school and college students across LA to create a community family. They are millennial soldiers fighting the stereotype of narcissism and creating a movement of action and awareness. A little background on Let's Give. So I heard about Let's Give about last year. And I noticed all the good that they were doing. I noticed that they were helping people across, you know, there were people in Puerto Rico, they're helping people in Houston. My friend, my best friend, he lives in Texas. So, you know, like, it kind of made me feel good that at least there's some people that are caring about, you know, others outside of California. And, you know, and I noticed that they're doing a lot of good. They're going to, I believe, San Bernardino, and they provided clothing and like backpacks, and I don't know, they're helping the community. And I really, you know, like, that's what I'm trying to do with the podcast, help out, you know, all the people that come in my, like, in the show. I want to help them out, and I feel like kind of a connection. And I know, like, I don't have much to give, but I did provide some clothing when the catastrophe in Houston, when that happened. I tried to help out my way. You know, I don't really have a lot of funds, but I did have clothes that I wasn't going to use. And I knew people that, you know, I knew people that had spare clothes that they weren't going to use. So I gathered as much clothing as I could, and I just made the thing happen. So, you know, I'm very happy that they were able to come. You know, I've been trying to have them on for quite a bit, but everything that was going on in the world, you know, they're busy people. But I'm very happy to have them on finally, you know. It was a great interview. You guys are going to get to know Morenita and Jeffrey. They're great people. And, you know, you're going to find out more about Let's Give. And hopefully, if you can, volunteer. If you can't, at least they do have a PayPal. I think they got Venmo. So if you can, just shoot them a couple dollars or show up at their next event. If you could, you know, helping in any way, I'm sure they'll take your donations. Just contact them through Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. You could email them at let's.give.culture@gmail.com, or you could call them at 310-713-7582. shoot them a text, tell them that you want to help, that you want to volunteer, and I'm sure they'll contact you as soon as they can. Before I go any further, I want to remind you that this Friday, April 27th, Let's Give will presents Tribe Called Culture. This is their second annual art collective night. It's a family-friendly event hosting poets, vendors, visual artists, established and upcoming talent, offering a platform for local talent to share their gifts, an opportunity to unite authentic cultures with all platforms of art. So this event will happen at Lawndale, California. It'll go from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. So you can get your tickets by going to the Let's Give movement.org. They have a couple options. So if you're a student, it's $5 a ticket. Adults are $10 and VIP are $25. If you get the VIP ticket, you'll get access to the artwork, food and retail vendors, and Tribe Called Culture show. You get a VIP seating, limited edition Tribe Called Culture t-shirt, and an original Let's Give heart pin. So make sure you get your tickets now. I'm actually have a giveaway going on right now that I'll be giving away 2 free tickets to this event. All you gotta do is repost the picture of the repost this episode, and that's it. That's all you gotta do is repost this episode, and you'll receive a chance to win those tickets. Hopefully you guys are able to do this. You know, I wanted to go myself, but unfortunately I work the next day. I work at 12, and you know, this event ends at 11. It's gonna be a great group of people. The song at the end of this episode, it's featuring one of the artists that'll be performing live at this event. The name of the band is Weapons of Mass Creation. The name of the song is Bounce. Make sure you go give them a check them out on YouTube. Also, make sure you attend this event. I'm sure you guys are trying to look for something to do this Friday, so why not participate on the giveaway? You'll be able to go free. And like I just said, this is a nonprofit organization, so all the profit that the people will be receiving is for them. Let's Give does not take a penny from them. If you want to donate, they'll have an option for you to donate. And all the profits from the tickets will go to the to further their reach and to provide resources for all the people in need. I don't know if you noticed, but I just made 12 limited edition neon Let Me Know podcast hats that I'll be selling. They're exclusive to the Art Walk. The Art Walk's going on May 5th from 1 to 6 p.m. It'll be on Avalon between G and F Street. So make sure you come support, come show some love, come see me. If you've been wanting to see me, if you wanted to ask me questions, I think this is a perfect opportunity. I'll be having shirts, hats, and if you've been wanting a sticker, I'll have some stickers. You know, they're totally free. The hats I will charge, and for the shirts, I don't want to announce the prices yet because I still don't even know. I gotta do the math. I'll also have the OG logo. Hopefully you guys are able to support and attend the event. The homies from Just Us, they will be performing. So if you've been wanting to catch them, I don't think you have any excuse. I'm giving you a lot, you know, a couple weeks in advance. No Phenom's gonna be there. I think Synesthesia is gonna be there. So a lot of the people that you've seen on the podcast, that you've heard on the podcast, they'll be attending this event. So make sure you come and show some support. If you haven't done so, please go on iTunes and leave me a review, a 5-star rating. Keep sharing the podcast. Keep telling people about it. Not like I always say, don't do it for me. Do it for my guests. At the end of the day, this is a platform for them to talk about themselves and talk about their passion. And for this case, in this case of this episode, you know, a nonprofit, you know, they're helping people. And it's it's young people. I don't really see that many organizations that are, you know, made up of just young people. So make sure you come show some support. Go to the event. Volunteer if you can. If you can, a simple repost, a simple, you know, tell people about them. You know, anything helps. And like I said, you know, I'm very thankful. If you want a sticker, make sure you leave me a DM. Send me a DM and I'll make that happen free of charge. You can find me on iTunes, SoundCloud, on Spotify, everywhere. You know, like I think this episode, I just tell you to Google me because I mean, I think that's the simplest way, right? If you just Google Let Me Know Pod. And let me know if you're excited about these hats. I'm excited. I can't wait to see you guys at the Cinco de Mayo Art Walk in Wilmington. Make sure you come say hi. Make sure, you know, you support the other local vendors. Everybody's out here trying to do their thing, trying to do what they're passionate about, trying to show off, trying to, you know, make a living. So come support us. Come support them. Come check out Just Us. I'm sure there's going to be other great stuff that I don't know about yet. And don't forget to enter the giveaway. 2 free tickets. And also don't forget the other, the mystery giveaway. You thought I forgot. No, it's still going on. So Thursday is going to be the tickets. And Friday is going to be the mystery gift. I don't know. Has anybody heard of a dual giveaway? 2 giveaways at the same time by the same person. And I don't know. I've never heard of that. I think I'm pretty special. Hopefully you guys think I'm special too. And I'll leave you guys with that. Enjoy. So if you down on your luck, then you should know just how I feel. Cause if you don't want me around, see I go simple, I go easy, I go greyhound. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. Wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" baller. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Did you guys enjoy that song? I did. It's actually one of my favorite songs. You guys know that I don't even know what's playing right now, but I always like to say that. All right. So today I'm sitting with Noemi, right? Noemi?
Naomi,
sorry. Mm-hmm. You guys might know her as Morenita. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Vasquez. Mm-hmm. You're good with that?
Yeah, that works.
All right, cool, cool. See, I always mess up the beginning, so I do apologize if I butcher you guys' name. But actually, they're members, the founding members, CEO and vice president of operations. I don't know if you guys might have heard of this little big thing called Let's Give. It's a nonprofit organization. It's actually a grassroots volunteer organization created by high school students across LA to give via community, culture, and global
initiatives.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to ruin it for them. How about if they tell us who they are? You know, because I already butchered it. I don't want to do that throughout the episode. So before I even start, before we get into all this, let me ask you, how is your guys' day so far?
I mean, I'm pretty dandy.
Yeah, this is midday for me, so I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. Is this like the time you usually wake up?
Not at all. No. I mean, like, I've been awake.
Oh, okay. That's good.
He wakes up at like 5 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, I have a long day.
Does this keep you busy? Is that why you're just
it's like part of it. Yeah, I'm a student full time. I also have another part time job.
Oh.
Yeah, and I do this. I log in about like 12 to 20 hours a week doing this.
Wow. You keep them busy. All right, so I mentioned a little bit about Let's Give. So why don't you tell the listeners who you guys are?
Okay, my name is Naomi Coronado, but I go by Morenita. That's what everyone calls me. I am a poet. I'm an activist. I am the CEO and founder of Let's Give. I'm an artist. I don't know. I'm into like brujería and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that today. You were like burning sage, or what was it?
Yeah. Burning sage, and I spent a lot of time at my altar this morning.
Okay.
And through my activism, when I started, I was always really, really angry, and I didn't really know how to channel that anger until like I had like this whole decolonizing era in my life of like decolonizing from the way I've been programmed to think and act. Mm. And through that, I realized I found Santeria, and I got really connected with my indigenous roots and where my people came from and stuff. So that helped me channel my anger and a lot of my other emotions in a more positive direction. So yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Thank you.
Is that like a religion? I'm not really familiar with it.
Yeah, Santeria is a slave religion. Okay. So way back before colonization and slavery, it existed in Africa. And when my ancestors were taken from Africa and brought into the Caribbean, I'm Puerto Rican.
Okay.
So it was, Santeria was birthed from the combination of Ifa, which is the religion that came from Africa, and Catholicism, because they had to hide Ifa behind Catholicism in order to like still practice and stay alive, because of everyone wanted to be, the colonizer wanted to enslave people, not only via physical chains, but also mentally. And so that's what they used with Catholicism. So they, through hiding Ifa behind Catholicism, Santeria was born and spread in the Caribbean and Brazil. So yeah, that's what I found.
Oh, cool. So what about you, Jeffrey? What, are you into Santeria too?
No, not at all. No. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not my thing.
Okay.
I'm just Jeff, man. I'm what my teachers call an aspiring physicist. I just study. I like to learn a lot, and I like to help people, which is why I'm here.
How did you get like to physics, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is it about physics that interests you?
Everything. It's incredible because physics is all around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To study physics is just to study the behavior of like objects, how they act around you. Mm-hmm. So for me to study physics, it's just like paying attention to what's going on and wondering why, what's making that happen, and connecting it. And a lot of what we know, like chemistry, is derived from physics. So the more I'm understanding physics, the more I'm understanding the world around me. And it's a beautiful thing, it really is, because there's this like stigma of scientists like breaking down something so much they no longer see the beauty in it. But for a lot of us, it's quite the opposite. Like, the more we learn about it, the more beautiful things become to us.
And like, what are you planning to do with, like, I mean, you're going to school for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, what's your plan, like, long term with it? Like,
when I first started school, my plan was just to go into research and probably become a professor. Mm-hmm. Throughout this year with Let's Give and the work we've been doing and just growing as a human, mm-hmm. I've been realizing that this is a part of me. I want to help people all my life. So earlier in the day when Naomi introduced me to you,
uh-huh.
She said that I was an engineer. That's just kind of a joke, because engineers apply what we learn in physics to help people.
Okay.
And I really want to help people with what I'm learning. So it's like I'm slowly becoming an engineer, but I'm trying not to.
Oh, okay.
So that'd be my plan, is to study physics and figure out what I'd be learning, how to apply that to people, to help people in some way.
Okay. All right. So tell me a little bit about Let's Give. Like, why did you create Let's Give?
So I created Let's Give in high school. I am the granddaughter of an immigrant. And when my grandma came over here, she was 18 by herself with only like $50 to her name. And she didn't really have much help in the beginning, and she had to create everything for herself. But once she was able to find stability, it was really important for her to help other people and help other immigrants that were coming in as well. And so as my mom and my aunt and I, we were growing up, because my mom had me at a really young age, so my grandma was basically raising us all together. And it was really important for us to know that whenever we are in a place of privilege, we have to give back, because it's our civic duty. And so ever since I was really young, I was always doing things with my grandma and like helping other people, and going down to Rosarito and giving clothes to the farm workers on our way, and buying things in Mexico and stuff. And I think when I reached to high school and everyone kept pushing like, oh, do community service, you can go to college and do this and do that. And I was like, in high school, I wasn't even focused on college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't even my top priority. I was just like, okay, I want to help people, but how am I going to be able to do that? So I started looking at the school clubs that my school was offering, and I realized that they were very like A-line, and they weren't really doing things. They were just posted up in front or like doing fundraising and stuff, and I wanted to do the nitty gritty work that I didn't see happening. So I was like, fuck it, like I'm gonna create my own, you know, I'm gonna create my own platform to see the change that I want to be making. And so I got a couple of my friends together, and I was like, yo, I have this crazy idea, I have this crazy ass blueprint, but I just need one of y'all to like see it.
Yeah.
And so it was 8 people in my living room, and all 8 of them saw it. And then the next meeting, they all brought a friend, so we grew from like 8 to 20 people. And then by the time our first event came around, we already had 100 volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, it kind of, it's just been snowballing since then, and like everybody just like taking a chance on me and my dream. And I think we've been able to do amazing work since.
So like, was it pretty hard, like the school, your school take you seriously? Because like when I graduated, like it was a requirement to get a certain amount of community service hours.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I was your school, I would be probably thinking like they just want to make their own volunteer, like little volunteer, so they could get those volunteer hours out the way, you know?
Yeah, I think it was really important for me when I started creating this organization that it wasn't a school club.
Okay.
I didn't want to have to deal with the red tape of my school because I didn't like the school I was going to. I was in West Torrance and it was a very whitewashed space, and I was always very radical since freshman year, and that didn't really sit well with a lot of the faculty and students, and I was always like the odd man out because I was always really loud about it, you know. I was always really loud about, yo, like history's fucked up and we got to start changing these habits. And so my school really wasn't, I mean, I can count a handful of people on faculty that was with my revolution, and it wasn't a school thing at all. And there was only like one class that had like community service hours, and even then, like, I think he tried to use our organization to
that's actually exactly what I did. Art art school, it was only like in your senior year, once you reached gov and econ, that you needed to do that. I approached my teacher, I explained to him what we were doing, how I was involved, what I'd be doing for logging the hours. And it didn't work out. They said we were too new. They didn't trust us to do what we said we were going to be doing.
Yeah, but we were federally recognized by that point. We had already filed our 501c3. So, yeah, they wasn't with it.
Yeah. So like all that business stuff, that all like making it into a nonprofit. Like, how did you learn how to do all that?
Connects. My mom has an amazing network, a crazy network, and Jeff was actually the person who filed and sent out our paperwork and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. She's right. Her mother has a network of amazing individuals who want to help us help people, and one of those individuals, he did a good amount of the paperwork, but he showed me how to do some of the things along the way.
Okay.
What some of those things were. It's really just like going to the doctor's office times 10, filling out that paperwork. Gotta do what you gotta do, dot all the I's and everything like that. So it was tedious, but it was nothing that wasn't worth trying to work through.
I couldn't imagine like how much patience you have to be able to read every single thing so you won't get like screwed over or something.
They tell me I'm pretty granular, so that's okay for me. I like looking through every little thing.
You should be a lawyer then.
I thought about that, but it seemed like a lot of lawyers weren't trying to help people, so that's not true. My thing.
Well, you could be that one, you know, that one that does actually says what he's gonna do and actually helps.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I'm with it.
So like, was there like any specific event like that was going on your school or like in your surrounding that you noticed that you were like, man, I have to do something about it, like that's the reason why? Because I would have thought that, like, originally that's what I thought had happened.
Like one thing set
yeah
it
one
off.
Thing you're like, oh man, like, man, that sucks, like I can't believe they're doing that, like I need to do my part and do something about it, and that's where like Let's Give started. But
I mean, there wasn't really one colossal event that, like, set me off. I grew up idolizing people like Che Guevara and the Black Panther Party, Frida Kahlo and Dolores Huerta. Like, I grew up idolizing these people and plastering them on my walls and stuff. And ever since I was a kid, I always said, like, whenever anybody asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I was, like, an activist. Like, I didn't know you could make money from or, like, live sustainably just off of activism.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, as I grew up, I was like, I don't want anything in return. Like, I just want to make change and like, do it. Because I didn't see enough people in my area doing it. And then crazy amount of kids came out of the woodworks and like were helping me with it, and it was amazing. But no, it wasn't just one thing, that it was just all of my life. I studied these amazing people of color that were able to make change, and I was like, I want to do that too.
So like, what year did it start? What year, like, was it like during your high school, like, I mean, yeah. Like, was it like junior, sophomore?
I was a sophomore. I had just finished my Sweet 16. Okay. If it wasn't for my Sweet 16, I probably would have started it earlier.
Yeah, why?
So we were planning my quince.
Of dancing or like the practices?
Yeah, everything. Okay. Dude, that shit was like a mini wedding. It was crazy. So,
did you come out on it?
No, did you?
No, I didn't know.
I bet you look pretty good on a suit.
He does. No, but yeah, if it wasn't for my Sweet 16, I probably would have started it earlier. But as soon as my Sweet 16 ended, I went and found myself in Cuba. And then I came back and started the organization.
Were you allowed to go to Cuba by then?
No, we went illegally. No, my grandpa, my mom's stepdad, he has, my Nino, he has dual citizenship. And yeah, we...
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's not get into it. <that. laughs> how did you convince a group of like high school students to join like something like this? Because I like off of what I see on social media, like it's all about the taking selfies and like getting famous, those followers going out, like right now people are in Coachella, like as we speak, like that's more important, like the appearance of like looking popular, like especially during high school, you want to look good, you want to be dressed, you want to do what everybody's doing. But like, how do you convince a group of peers to like, you know, like, man, like get out like your phone and actually do something?
I think we just attract. I think we attract the people that, you know, like ever since consumption, we had like very little, if any, people that were in there for college credits. Like everybody that came just wanted to help, and I spit game and they were like, yeah, I'm with it, and they came. What convinced you to join?
Yeah, no, I wasn't one of those first 16 to 20 people that she talked about. I was one of the high schoolers that she attracted. It's as simple as her showing. She spoke out in one of my classes. She said that she had an event. She said what it was for. She said it was to help the people in Flint, Michigan. She tried explaining.
What class was that?
It was our English class. Okay. We had English together, yeah. So she spoke in front of the class, stood up there. She's like a short little girl, so we had to look over. I listened. I barely knew her at the time. So
it was really ironic though, because we've known each other since freshman year.
Yeah, we'd known each other, but we didn't like know each other.
Yeah.
So she talked about what it was gonna be for, and she just reinforced it. She advertised as much as she could. The people who came that event, not including myself, we're all just like friends of people who are a part of creating the event. And I'd like to think that what attracted me, what keeps attracting people, is that we just focus on the work. We don't focus on trying to bring people in. We focus on trying to do the good, and the good brings people in.
All right. So let me ask you, Noemi, where do you get all this confidence? That's your name, right?
Naomi Morenita,
Naomi, sorry, man.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I'm going to call you Morenita. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I can't
It's what I'd prefer to be called, Morenita.
All right, cool. So let me... So, Norita, where do you get all this confidence from?
My mom. Yeah, my mom and the people that I surround myself with, really. I've been able to find myself in a really amazing group of people, and I've learned to cut out really toxic people. So, like, I know the people that I surround myself with just want the best for me. And
you're welcome.
I love you. And, yeah, no, it's... My mom and my sister, they really hold me down, and like we just feed into each other, and they get me really out of toxic relationships, whether platonic or romantic, that I don't need to be in. Right. And yeah.
Who was like the first group of people that you helped? Like, do you remember who they were?
Yeah, it was Skid Row. So we did a Blankies and Sandwiches run, and we made sandwiches, and we put them in like we put together a brown bag lunch. With sandwiches, snacks, waters, lo que sea. And then we gathered up socks and coats and blankets, because it was in December, and then we just caravaned down to Skid Row. We didn't set up shop just and have people come to us. We didn't do that. We didn't give them to another organization or like a foundation or whatever, a shelter. We were literally in December, cold, in the streets, handing people, you know, to help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I do notice a lot. Like, you personally go and deliver, you personally give the things to people. Like, why do you choose to do that? Just, you know, like you said, like people don't want to go and be in the cold. It's
in our mission statement. We want to give love, compassion, and support, and we don't feel like we can do that by putting a middle person between us. Mm-hmm. Because you put that middle person, it's who knows if they're actually giving that. We know that we're giving love, compassion, and support when it's us.
Yeah,
we feel that as well.
Yeah.
It's personal. It's just the way we want to do it.
Yeah, I think the biggest example of that was with the whole Puerto Rico efforts, with our Puerto Rico efforts, because you saw like other organizations trying to send things out there and getting stuck at the docks, and when we really held on to this fundamental idea of ideology of what Let's Give was built off of like not having a middleman, we were able to actually see our donations going from LA to the hands of the people in Puerto Rico. Like, there was no middleman, there was no stops, and we could trust the fact that they were actually getting what they needed. But that was something that we had started way in the beginning, and we held on to that.
So how do you recruit all this what's it called? Man, I just blanked on the word. But like the products, the what?
Resources?
Yeah, resources. There we go, man.
Well, my argument would be that the work we do brings the resources. Huh. For example, that Blinking Sandwiches run, I saw that as a person outside of Let's Give. I saw that they did that. They posted about it. They did another event. And I saw their work. That's what even made me want to think that I could come to that event.
Okay.
It wasn't her. It wasn't my friends in the organization. It was seeing the work. And I'd argue that's what brings people. When we first meet people, they say, oh, we saw you guys did this. We saw you at this place.
Yeah.
That's what brings the resources.
Our work builds our credibility, and our community sees that, and they want to give too.
Okay. Yeah, because like going a little bit back on like the whole giving part. So I actually like donated some, I think, clothing and some stuff. Because for that same reason. Not, like, I think it was like I had to track you guys down. Like at Buffalo Wild Wings, right? It was like,
like
when it was like that Houston, like it mm-hmm. was like hurricane or flood, right?
Yeah, it was a hurricane that like led to flooding. Then
that's exactly why I chose to give to you guys, because I was hearing so many things about the Red Cross, and I was like, you know what, like I trust these local people that like they're actually like hopefully they're doing what they say they're doing. Had my fingers crossed, but had my faith in you guys, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you know, I'd like to think that a lot of people want to help.
Yeah.
And it is that they see these big names like the Red Cross. Yeah. They're like, I'm just going to hand something off and they're going to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
But donate to UNICEF, that like the commercial that you see for $1 a day to help a kid in Africa. Uh-huh. Like, you don't know where that money is going.
Yeah.
They're not vetted. They're not credible. Like, I just wanted to make sure you could trust us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, I put my word on it too. Fuck it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trust them. So, like, how do you determine who to help?
We have meetings. When people join Let's Give, they add a voice. When at these meetings, they can voice their voice. They can say, "We saw this on the news. We heard about this. It's what's on our mind right now." We can talk about, one, do we want to do it? And most of the time, it's yes. Most of the time, we want to help these people.
Yeah.
And two, how could we help these people? Because some people who are far away, we may not be able to. We were very fortunate that we could help the people in Puerto Rico, but that may not always be the case. So a lot of it is, what can we do? Why do we want to do? And how would we go about that? So it comes down to a lot of things, like logistics, if it's possible.
Yeah, I feel like in the world of the U.S. that we live in, I feel like a lot of people, and this is generational, try to shut down youth because they think that we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So with anybody that joins our organization, I make it known to them, like, you already have an existing voice. It's already there. My only job is to make sure that you know that it's there, that you can use it, and holding up a megaphone so that it becomes louder.
Yeah.
And when people have that confidence of that voice, of like, I trust in them, and I know that, like, what they have to say matters, then they bring up these amazing events to mind, to the table, and then I'm just like, okay, now how are we gonna see that through?
So like, when it comes to making decisions, can anybody just throw out those things, or do you have like different categories of people? Because like, do you, Like, let's say I volunteer, can I go to one of your things and be like, oh, like, let's do this?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually had someone did a whole Skid Row run with us that wasn't even a member and hadn't even volunteered with us once but knew a member and, like, spit an idea. And we're like, all right, and, like, we want to help make that happen. But, I mean, there is, like, anybody in the organization, anybody who's a member can spit an idea. But, like, final decisions are made by, like, a few. Okay. And then money decisions are only made by him.
Okay.
So that...
Well, not just me. It's me and my team.
Yeah.
There's about, like, 7 of us. Okay. 6 of us.
Mm-hmm. So that we, like, especially it's really important that we do that with the money so that we can keep track of it and, like, not having too many chefs in the kitchen,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, anybody can bring an idea to the table and do whatever. My best friend, we did some work in Guatemala. And my best friend wanted to go to the ruins, to Tikal, just to celebrate her 21st. And we were like, yo, since we're out there, might as well help some people. And she was like, yeah, I'm with it. And that was like her birthday idea.
Yeah.
And so we as an organization, we were like, oh, yeah, we're with it too. And we found like orphanages and like other organizations just to help her celebrate her birthday.
Yeah. I was kind of going through the drama with you guys because I know her, like, she didn't get her passport on time or something.
Yeah.
Like that. I was like, oh, like, it was like kind of like a novella or something. It's like, what's going to happen next? You know?
Yeah.
I'm over here refreshing, like, Come on, don't leave me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, yeah, that whole situation was hilarious. That whole situation was hilarious because she didn't check her passport till we got there. So I ended up having to go without her. Sorry. I'm not crying, I'm just like,
no,
joking.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to go without her, but I was FaceTiming her from the school that we were in so that she could see, like, everything that was going on.
I imagine how much that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, but she eventually did get to go.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, she eventually did get to go. She stayed with my family because I had to leave early for school.
Okay.
I know, it sucked. But yeah, so she was in a really cool spot and she was still able to, like, check everything out.
So, like, how do you, like, determine who's a member of your, like, organization? Like, what do you look for in a member?
Everyone has to interview. Yeah, everyone has to interview.
You interview them?
No, I the executives, so okay. The presidents, the vice presidents, me as the CEO, and then really anybody in who can come can interview, and so you come, and we just want to make sure that we can see commitment, and commitment to not only the movement, but to the organization, movement as well, so that we know that, like, you're going to put in just as much work as everybody else, and that's really...
Well, in addition to that, we also look for people who do want to help. We look for that passion.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. It's all that in addition to the passion. Mm-hmm. Because commitment came after we've been looking for passion. Because you say, like, how do we bring people all these resources?
Yeah.
Like, again, it's the work. It's people seeing that someone's doing the good and they want to be a part of the good. So when we're interviewing, that's a big thing that we look for. Commitment is kind of revealed through that, because even people who are overly busy, when they interview, they say, you know what, I came here thinking that I'd only offer like 10 hours a week, but I need to offer more, I'm gonna give 15, or something like that. But we look for just people who want to help. It's just that want, the desire.
Mm-hmm. And and the interview process may sound scary, but it's pretty chill. I actually modeled because my mom sat on the chair of minority scholarships for like 12 years at UCLA.
Oh, wow.
And so I grew up in that space of like her reading the resumes and going to the interviews and watching the interviews happen. They let me sit in. And so after seeing that when I grew up, I realized that like a lot of POCs, because of the opportunities we've been given growing up, don't really know like how to be in that interview space. So I modeled our interviews after those interviews. The questions are the same. The things that they looked for in those interviews are the same. And then we train our members how to take proper interviews and how to give proper interviews, the whole like we have workshops with our members so that they can know like when they face something like that, how to do it more smoothly.
So, like, how do you know when somebody's full of shit? Like, they're just trying to get attention.
Oh, you can tell.
You can tell.
You can tell.
Like, how can you tell?
Me, well, I can tell because they'll start throwing out all these things that don't make sense. For example, they might say, yeah, I really want to help. I want to clean the beaches. I saw someone like litter, and it made me feel like they just come up with these like narratives that just don't seem very accurate. Mm-hmm. It's like they want to feed us something that sounds like they care.
Like, why do you think they do that? Like, why do you think they would lie about something like so pure, like something so nice?
College credits,
yeah, just it's like that, being forced to do it, like you said, like when you were in high school, it was mandatory. It's things like that. It looks good on paper.
Yeah.
Oh, I help people in my spare time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't really gotten much people like that. Really, we haven't. I think there was only one kid that I know of that like quit after college apps, but he got caught because a couple of our members that are really loyal to us heard him talking shit. And then I ran up on him like, yo, what? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't run up. But I heard him like after school one day. I saw him there and he was like talking shit to one of my friends. Just like, bromeando ahí, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, the audacity you have to talk about someone else.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come up to surface. Like, you can't be shady with us.
Nah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm getting mad myself right now.
Well, don't.
All right, cool.
Because, not just because don't, but because...
Oh.
If we feel like there's an individual like that, we really do believe that we're doing some good work. And we'd like to think that it rubs off.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone comes in and it seems like they're really just there for the hours, we like to think that hopefully we can convert them to like appreciating the work they're doing over the hours they're getting out of us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And it happens.
Because
mm-hmm. it's hard not to. Like you said, why would someone want to lie about something so good? Well, something so good actually almost converts them to our side.
Mm-hmm.
We're like... What's the term?
Because
like the dark side, but good.
Why? Why?
Well, from like Star Wars.
Why would you put it that way, though? Dark side of good. No.
Because
I get what you're saying. I
understand what you're saying, too, but don't put it that way.
It's the Force. We have the Force.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have
the
Force. You're the Jedi's. You're not
the
Force. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen enough Star Wars movies. So I probably just misunderstood.
Oh, right,
yeah, I meant the Jedi's. We're the Jedi's. Because I was definitely thinking Star Wars.
We're the Jedi's, but we're as strong as the dark side.
Oh.
You feel me? You know how strong the dark side is and can just like grab somebody?
Yeah.
That's us. But at the end of the day, we're the Jedi's.
Let's not get into Star Wars because I'll tell you. Like, I'll school you there.
All right.
Let's not go there a little, right? So, like, what do you think, like, besides doing everything one-on-one, like, going out there and actually giving the way...
Resources.
What do you think sets you apart from other nonprofit?
Our transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, this interview is being recorded so people can see it. We want people to know what we're doing. We don't want this to be hidden behind walls. Like, oh, I heard that they're going to be interviewed. All right, look. It's the transparency and being willing to show that to the people who want to join. Because you said that you were scrolling through our Instagram trying to learn about us. That
yeah.
It's the transparency. I think that's one of the big things that sets us apart.
And I think we don't really go into what we do trying to compare ourselves to other organizations. I think we just are authentically and organically us. We're not... I mean, from the bigger organizations, yeah, like... We look at FEMA, we look at Red Cross, like, we not with that. But it's not like the other homegrown organizations. We're like, what are they doing that we need to do? Or what are they not doing? Like, we don't do that, you know? Like, we just run ourselves, and we're not trying to compare ourselves to other people, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to help, you know?
Yeah.
We're all just trying to do good.
See, I like that mentality, like, just... Look in front of you, keep your head down, and don't care. Don't like, don't pay attention to what else is doing. Everybody else is doing. See, I like that. That's the way I think too. I like most of the time. You know, sometimes I get a little jealous, but you know, keep my head down. Just do what I gotta do. It's not about me. It's about you guys. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You're right. We do have a bit of mentality that way. Except, you say you try not to look over. The only time we look over is when we want to help other people.
Oh.
Yeah, when we partner up with other nonprofits, that's really our version of looking to the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we see that you're trying to do something, and we think we can help you with that. We want to help you with
that. Yeah, we have a lot of partners, and we're not against having partners, because we may not always have all of the resources to make the change. So our partners are very necessary in making that change. I mean, we have partners like Indocumedia,
Have a soul.
Have a soul. I was looking for the name. Have a soul. Buffalo Wild Wings. Chingona Fire.
Like, I want them as a sponsor.
I mean, they sponsor Tribe, the Tribe Called Culture, and a lot of our other efforts. Like, we could not be doing our work without our partners.
So, like, how important is race, culture, religion, and sexual orientation in creating this organization?
I think it was really important for everybody to feel inclusive when I started it. You know, I didn't want anybody to be like, oh, it's just a liberal organization. I can't join. Like, I wanted it to be an open platform for everybody to come in and unify. But I think as the political climate and the social climate has risen and changed so much, I've really been wanting our organization to be a safe space for those who feel outcasted. Let's come together, let's join hands, and let's help each other, you know?
So, like, I understand you have different branches, right? Like, on the nonprofit, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, we have community, global, and culture. Those are the three teams that we have that focus on, like, what the events are for. They come up with events within what they're interested in. So community might look around in California, see if something's happening, something that's like grabbed their interest and they want to help in. Culture might come up with Tribe Called Culture, which is a platform for artists and local vendors. And we also have the more logistical, bureaucratic parts to it. For example, my finance team, we have a marketing team, we have social media. We have hospitality.
But all of our events are produced through our three main initiatives: community, culture, global. So then our global something is reaching outside of what we know. Community, something's really important to us is redefining what community means and breaking outside of these man-made borders and these bubbles that we create to ourselves and really reaching outside of our own and reaching outside of what we're used to. And through that, a lot of our members are challenged to grow and to change because they're seeing things that they may not have seen otherwise. And so that's community. Culture, we incorporate anything through the arts, so helping our community through the arts. And then global is, like I said, reaching outside of the U.S.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, let me ask you, like, how did you learn all this, like, finance stuff? Because, I mean, this, I'm thinking, like, you're doing all this from in high school, right?
Yeah. I've always been pretty okay with numbers. Going through middle, elementary, high school, I've been okay with numbers. So when I saw that, when I was first going to join Let's Give as a board member, they had a couple positions open. They had what they called historian, they had like vice president, and they had treasurer. I looked at that, I was like, I like history, but I'm not trying to mark it down. I'm not vice president material, at least that's the way I felt at the time. And I looked and I was like, well, I'm okay with numbers. I can add, I can multiply. I'm not afraid of a little bit of algebra.
Yeah.
So I applied for that job and I ended up getting it eventually, not at first. And I just grew into the position. So you said, how do I know this stuff? I grew into it.
Okay.
I didn't, like right now, I'm pretty great with like Excel, numbers, Google Sheets. I love them. I make my schedules on them just for free time just because I'm bored.
That's good.
But I had to adapt to it. It's what the job called for, really. Mm-hmm. For example, throughout the Puerto Rico, we had to learn how to create like a book with all our finances in it, different trends, we had to think about what we're going to start keeping track of and how that even go. Like, what does it mean to keep track of our finances? Does that mean that we just keep track of every donation we get? Does it mean that we just keep track of how much we get for a t-shirt? Are we keeping track of the margin that we get, the profit margin from the t-shirt? So it's really what the moment called for. I brought up Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico called for us to bring all our finances in check.
Okay.
When we wanted these resources, plenty of people, like you said, you studied us to see if we were credible. And one of the ways that people do that with us is by looking at our finances. So for Puerto Rico, in order to help those people, we had to create the book. Mm. So I learned this just because I had to learn it. It's my way of helping people.
Was Puerto Rico like one of your biggest like achievements so far?
Definitely. It was definitely, I mean...
Well, you say achievements. We consider pretty much every event that we do to be an achievement. We're proud of every single one. In terms of how much like labor, hours, it was definitely Puerto Rico definitely took up a lot of our energy and resources. All right. I'd say it's the one of our events that we've impacted the most amount of people. So
I think we were like the second biggest organization out of LA that sent to Puerto Rico.
Wow. So like, it was that like, do you feel like when you were done with it all, like, do you feel you helped enough people, or like, are you still working on like helping more like the people in Puerto Rico? Because I know they're still like, you know,
yeah,
like,
the island is still getting blackouts. All of the places on the island have gotten an electricity grid. I've been keeping tabs on it personally because I still got family out there and stuff. But I think when we were done, it was really important for us to rebuild ourselves, because you can't pour from an empty cup. So we needed to refill our cup. I still want to help Puerto Rico. I still want to send more to Puerto Rico. I still want to do stuff for Puerto Rico. I'm planning a trip to go visit my titis out there soon. So maybe they can help me do something. But we really have to, right now, we're just focusing on filling our cup back up so that we can pour into other spots as well.
So like, you were helping people from San Bernardino, right?
Bakersfield.
Oh, Bakersfield. Like, and you Michigan, you helped Michigan, and you helped Houston, and you helped Guatemala, and you helped Puerto Rico. So do you have like little branches, like nonprofits there also?
I think no. So in the places in the U.S. we sent people.
Okay.
In the places globally, I personally went to Guatemala, so we sent people as well. Okay. But with the Puerto Rico efforts, because we needed people here and we needed people there, we had a whole team there. And then we had a whole team here. But that was really through our relationships and our partners and our families and other things like that. Puerto Ricans in LA came out of the woodworks, I swear. Like, I had not been in a room with that many Puerto Ricans in my entire life. And I'm half Puerto Rican. So it's like, through all of that and everybody's families and stuff, we were able to have a whole team here and a whole other team there. Yeah. So that's how that works. But other than that, we send people.
From all the events that you've thrown, all the like people that you've helped, like, is there like a special, like, one special event or special group of people that you've helped that just felt that that gave you that satisfaction, that feeling satisfaction, or I guess, I don't know.
I think to me personally, every event is like a baby. Like, you can't ask me to pick a favorite child. I get fulfillment out of all of them. I really do think that my favorite event, though, has to be our first event, because it gave us hope that we could continue doing that. And without that amazing turnout of the first event, we wouldn't have grown into what we are now. But that's me personally. I don't know.
I'm not that way. These events are not all my babies. Not because I don't love them, they're just not my babies. However, there is one event that sticks out to me. Plenty of them make me feel certain ways, as you said, but one of them really hit me in the heart. We were partnered that day with Have a Soul. We were doing this like one-in-one system where they had a line of homeless people or people who needed the footwear. They had a line of us helpers, and the idea was that like one helper with one individual who needed the footwear, and that we'd talk to them, we'd get to know them, we'd ask them about their foot size, what kind of shoes they wanted, and we'd go over to what it was like a giant trailer. It was a giant truck full of shoes, and we'd go in there and say like, we're looking for like a 10 and a half that's blue, something stylish, something comfortable, things like that. I ended up getting this man. He looked to me at least like he had just come out of jail, just because he was wearing like an orange jumpsuit and he was wearing like a tank top. He was a black man and he was very muscular. He had me frightened at the time. I was afraid to talk to him. I had to ask him his name twice because I was kind of scared to hear it the first time. When I was working with him, asking him what kind of shoes or what he was into, he was very like indifferent towards me, and I was okay with that. You know, like, as long as it doesn't get hostile.
Yeah.
And as long as it didn't get hostile or anything like that. And I was hoping to break the indifference, I suppose, maybe see a smile or him or something. And he had, I think we had trouble finding shoes in his size, and the shoes that I did find in his size weren't the style that he wanted. And for the most part, everyone's pretty grateful when we help them. Not like I can judge their gratefulness, but they seem grateful at least. And he was very indifferent the entire time. I think I ended up being around him for about 20 minutes, but at the end, I found this footwear, like the shoes that he actually had wanted, and he kind of just took a second to like take it in, and he like kind of looked down, looked at me, and he said like thank you, and he shook my hand, which meant a lot to me, because at this whole time we were about like the distance between you and me, which is like 3 to 3.5 feet maybe, but that was like the distance we were keeping with one another, and for him to just like come up to me and like shake my hand and say thank you. I was hoping that he'd get that I did care about him, and I was working to so that he could understand that, and I think he did.
Oh wow.
And it hit me, because when I saw him, I was like, here comes this big scary man who I'm hoping he won't be hostile with me, and at the end he shakes my hand and tells me thank you, and like shows that he appreciated that I cared about. It just really hit me in the heart. I try not to judge people, but that was like that one day where I guess I did judge someone. They proved me wrong. I'm glad they did. So that one hits me all the time, because I was keeping like a 3.5 foot space between them. And there he goes at the end, telling me thank you, shaking my hand like just one human to another.
Because
that's what we all are.
I thought you were gonna say like you felt like satisfaction because you liked the shoes you chose for him. That's basically what you said, right? I know, but
that is what it was.
I think when it comes to a lot of people that we help that are deemed homeless, I don't like the word homeless, because we find solace and we find home within each other and within our community. So I usually just refer them to like our homies on the street. But when we're helping these communities, there's a lot of times that, I mean, because they ended up there, like, no one really ever took a chance on them, or no one ever really showed hospitality or that they cared. And I think that's that in that moment, he saw how hospitable Jeff was and how much Jeff was really just there to cater to him. And that's not something that they often see on a regular. So I think that was the touching part, because I've never heard that story before either. So that was.
I think it's on my Twitter. but that's exactly what I like to think that it was, because as you mentioned earlier, we try and do everything like from us to them. Like there's no middleman.
Yeah.
And when there is a middleman, such as when trying to give shoes to our homies in the street, they just get whatever shoes they get. It's whatever fits them. It's what you get, what you get. Mm-hmm. But we know that these are just humans. Like she said, we find home in one another, so who cares if they're homeless? I was hoping that that's what he got out of it, was that I was respecting him as the human that he was wherever he was in his life.
So like, I'm curious, do you have like a branch just for like mental health? Because like, you're telling me this story, and like a lot of what would you say, the homies in the street, that's the problem. It's like it's mental health. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to depression, drama, or not drama, but like when somebody dies, you know, they take that really too hard,
like a rough patch in there.
So like, I think like that's one of the biggest problems. Like, we don't really talk about mental health, and we're not really open to like, you know, giving that for free. Like, so I'm just wondering, like, do you guys have like a section like that?
We mentioned earlier the hospitality department. Hospitality really just works on making sure that everyone that comes to our events, board members or volunteers, feels welcomed and included. Along with that comes our efforts in that. So I'd like to say that our whole organization is like a mental health group, because we do at these meetings, we don't just say, all right, it's like 10 o'clock, what's first thing on the agenda? No, we do icebreakers. We ask each other how one another is doing. Just recently we made sure to tell each other like one great thing that happened in our week and one bad thing that happened on our week. And that kind of turned into like a little group of, we're here to support one another, because we ended up talking about like the rough things that happened that week for us. And we just listened to each other, and
like, and it allows space for vulnerability. Like, I had talked about a breakup that I was just going through, and everybody there were able to see my boyfriend and I when we came together, because he was a big part of Let's Give Too, and like, they were all really surprised when they heard we broke up, and in that, like, everyone was there for me, and it really helped, and it was really comforting. Because we are a family, and we are really here for one another. So, yeah. I think in terms of specifically mental health, it's a field that I want to get into when I grow up. Specifically, I want to be a healer. I am a healer, so I want to learn more about that. So I make sure that everybody in the organization is aware of, like, not only our personal mental health, but the communities that we're helping. We do the research. We know, like, when we go to Bakersfield, we know how the migrant farm workers are affected physically and mentally. Same thing when we go to Skid Row. Like, no one's gonna walk into a situation not knowing how to treat the people that we're helping, because it is, like, we all do the research.
I kind of wanted to do that right now, but like, I wanted to ask you guys, like, what's a positive thing and a negative thing that happened to you this week?
Me first? Okay. A negative thing?
Don't say this podcast, please.
No. Not at all. Not at all. This is amazing. I love this. I love the space. I love how cute. Like, this is amazing. I love this. I think I've been dealing with a really, really tough and bad breakup that's taken a lot out of me. So that would be the negative of, like, just finding different aspects of, like, things I didn't know about before that I'm, like, just finding out now, that's, like, really hurtful and painful. But through that, my positive side is, like, I'm learning how strong I am and, like, how beautiful I am and how amazing of a person I personally am. Like, I'm not trying to be cocky, but, like, through this pain, I'm really, like, learning to rise. And I'm reconnecting with my roots again and seeing how, like, my indigenous people, my ancestors, how they were gone through trials and tribulations and pain, and they were able to rise. So I'm really just trying to mimic that and mimic their strength. And, like, yeah, that was a beautiful part out of me.
That's good. Learning from your past and, like, planning right now and present. That's nice.
Yeah. Bad thing. I'd say, yeah. I'm in school full time. I have a part time job as well, and I do Let's Give. So I feel like I work pretty hard to keep it all in check. I feel like I'm a pretty organized individual, relatively speaking. And every once in a while I slip up. I slipped up this week. I fell behind on some of my work. I had to take an exam. I don't think I did that great. As we mentioned earlier, I'm trying to go into physics, so math is really important. So for me to not done well on that exam kind of hit me. Something good. You mentioned mental health, and that's actually interesting. I actually recently just visited my school's mental health and wellness center, because I was feeling some way. And because actually of the meeting that we had this weekend where we went into our vulnerabilities, I felt like it was time for me to become vulnerable and go. And that felt really good. That was a good thing for me this week.
What was your high point and low point?
This interview. Well, actually, I had two interviews this week. So
this
interview's
the low one?
No, this is my high one.
Okay.
I start positive and go negative. So, positive is this interview. Just basically having been able to do this. Like, this is super fun. Like, this is something I love to do. Getting to know people. Like, I'm nosy, but I'm inquisitive. Let's say I'm inquisitive, you know? And then this podcast allows me to get to know other people that I wouldn't, like, never ever meet in my life, you know? Thank you to social media also. And a negative that I've been up for so long. Like, I wish I was more, like, high energy with you guys. Like, I want to mess around. Like, I'm a playful guy, and I have to be kind of serious right now, because, I don't know, I'm, like, running on, like, 1%, you know.
I get that. Definitely.
And it's hot, and I hate the heat. You know, and I'm trying to be quiet, like, when I drink water, so, like, the mics don't pick it up. So,
well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate being here. No, I mean,
this is super fun. Like, we're almost at an hour, so I'm gonna have to, like, go down on the list. But let's talk about Tribe Called Culture, right?
Ooh, yay.
So tell me a little bit about it. Like, why did you start this? And, like, I know you're a performer, you know, you're a poet, so.
Thank you, I am. I'm not.
He writes poetry. He dabbles, and it's really, really amazing when he dabbles. But Tribe Called Culture was something I conceptualized before I even conceptualized Let's Give. This was been in the top of my mind since forever. So I grew up in Hawthorne. I grew up in Hawthorne, and I was always, always, always really into the arts, thanks to my mama. And I realized that we ended up having to go, like, hours away to like different cities, LA, South Central, so that I can go to an open mic or so that I can go to an art show or, you know, like all these different places. But they were never in Hawthorne. They were never in the city that I was raised in. And I was like, why is that? Like, that's so weird. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, you know? Like, the same thing with Let's Give. It was like, I'm gonna bring arts into a community that I've never seen stuff like this in before. And it really held close to my heart because it's where I grew up. It's my thing is like, I always want to give to the community and to the hands that raised me. And so Hawthorne brought me up, so I wanted to give a gift back, you know? And it's an arts collective night that's helping local artists, that's giving them a platform to shine and to show what they got, and not only to show and shine, but also to sell, because we know how hard it is as an artist to find these platforms to sell and keep 100% of their proceeds. They get to come and keep 100% of their proceeds. Not only that, but mom and pop shops and cyberwebs, they get to sell and they get to vend and they get to keep 100% of their proceeds. And we're not taking anything from them. We're just giving them a space and a platform. And, you know, we even got the local elotera to come out, and she sells, and she gets to keep 100%.
It's really good elote that she buys.
Yeah. It's coming up. February 27th is our second annual Tribe Called Culture.
This is an annual event, so next year we're going to have this event as well. So if someone's listening to this and is thinking, I need a platform like that for myself, then you can go on our Instagram and see what it was like, and maybe in this next year for our third annual event, you can become a part of it. Mm-hmm.
And we're also trying to set up, last year when we fundraised for Guatemala, we did a kind of like a mini Tribe Called Culture. So it's always a potential of doing smaller events throughout the year, but this is a big scale event because we have the art walk, we have the vendors, we have the DJs, we have the performers. So usually like our smaller ones are just an open mic, but you could still catch like our artwork coming up throughout the year.
And like I know if you guys should know, like, you guys should know because Risper Arte, he's taking part of this event. So you guys heard him here, and he was amazing to talk to. And I'm sure there's other vendors, or like, pretty sure there's another. I like you worked with Lola La Poeta before, right? So like, I've had her on too. And is she gonna be taking part of that event this year?
No, she's not on our lineup this year, but we have a lot of local poets. And I mean, we have Jessica Salgado and Angela Aguirre. They were both part of Chingona Fire, and they're part of it last year, and they'll be a part of it this year. We have Hood Prophet, aka Mike Davis. He was a part of it last year and will be a part of it this year. We got Keto Fortune, we have Weapons of Mass Creation, we have Aponte, we have Kevin Sandbloom. Like, we have some amazing people in our communities showing up.
They only bring her up so you guys, like, since you've already heard, I just want you to like to kind of see the quality of people that they bring in. Like, they bring like really, really talented people.
Whisper was actually a part of it the first year too.
Yeah, well, I just met him this year, so but I mean, he's talented. Like,
yeah, he's amazing.
Like that penmanship, man, whatever. You guys know what I'm trying to say. All right, don't even play like you guys don't know. All right, so you know what? Like, we're almost at an hour, so I think we're gonna wrap it up. But like, before I go, let me ask you one last thing. So like big picture, like, where do you see yourself like in the next 5 years?
Ourselves personally, or like as an organization?
As an organization. Or maybe you can actually do both. Tell me where you're gonna personally and as an organization.
In 5 years?
Well, let's go. Okay, you wanna do 10? Like, I don't wanna go one next year, cause
that's too far in the future. I think as an organization, I think we really just wanna be able to funding. Funding is such a big thing because we are completely 100% non-profit. We don't profit off of this at all. Like, we don't get anything in our pockets. I think funding, I want to get more funding so that we can do more and we can produce more and start getting an income so that we can be able to help more within the next 5 years as an organization. Personally, I just want to be able to not talk myself out of quitting school, because I keep trying to do that, and I'm like, nah, I need to stay. Yeah. I need to do this.
I mean, you're trying to, like, you need to educate yourself so people are...
Yeah, education is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I'm just, I keep trying to, like, go left, and I'm like, nah, stay.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Head in the game, yeah.
I've quit school twice, so it happens.
I have similar views for our organization in the next 5 years, I think. Exactly what she said. We have plenty of people in Let's Give who can help. We have plenty of ideas in Let's Give for how to help people, but we lack in our resources, even though we get so many. Thank you to everyone who gives us these resources.
Thank you very much.
But in the next 5 years, I would like to see maybe just like a steady sponsor, maybe just one who can throughout the year give us a good amount of money to do something to help more people. That'd be the gist of it, just to have seen us help even more people than we already have.
And like, you guys don't like, are you guys, you guys don't want it like a Let's Give in like every city? Like I would think that's something
I would like, only want that if we knew that the integrity of Let's Give can be sustained there. Because we're talking about how we're trying to be transparent, how we're trying to be hand to hand and like give the love that we're trying to give. And
I don't want anything to get corrupt.
That's true. We don't want that to be lost at all. We're very open to that, of course. We that's great. But only if we can keep the integrity. Because integrity of what we're trying to do is the utmost importance.
I think that that's something specifically that came up when I started my activism. And that was before I even started Let's Give. Is I saw a lot of corruption in our politicians, not only locally, but like sitting on Congress. That they don't hold their integrity, which is why we have like so much wavering and so much corruption. And I was like, all right, so if I'm getting into this, I used to want to be a politician. So I was like, I need to hold on to my personal integrity of like what I want to do and see that through. And we've really weaved that ideology into Let's Give. So yeah, I agree with him completely.
All right, well, you know what, why don't you tell people where they could find you? But obviously before we go, like, this is the plugs, their plugs. After that, we're gonna play Sevens. So just tell people where they could find you, your social media.
What about my 5 years?
Oh, I thought you said your five.
Did I say my five? I don't think I did.
No, you didn't do your personal.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, I apologize.
I want people to know.
Sorry.
Next 5 years, I'm in community college right now. I'm a STEM student. Physics takes a while because there's a lot of math. So the average time for a STEM student in community college to grad to transfer is 3 years. So that's about 5 years in school. So if the goal is for the next 5 years to be in graduate school, getting my PhD in physics. That's what I wanted to say, because the more I say it to people, the more I need to get it.
Affirmation.
Yeah.
And I'm on SoundCloud or not everywhere, so make sure you keep repeating that, like you play that part over and over. All right.
Yeah. Now your audience can hold me accountable to you. Yeah. So in 5 years they'll see me as a PhD candidate, hopefully.
And trust me, I'm gonna do that. I don't care. I bug people like. I don't care. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm gonna do it. That's how I make friends. Okay. Like I just bug them and constantly talk to them until like, I don't know. They're like, you know what? You're not that bad. I guess I like. Well, what's it called? Like
you grow on people.
Yeah, I guess. But like you bug them so much that like, all right, whatever. I'm not gonna shake you off. So I might as well just befriend you or something.
Like they can't get rid of you.
Pretty much.
Well, I think you're pretty cool so far.
Thank you. So tell people where they can find you guys, like your social medias, like your website, Tribe Called Quest.
So our Instagram is let's.give, and that's where we are at the most, and that's where we're active the most. But you can also follow all of our extracurriculars at letsgivemovement.org. And that is a link in our bio as well. And then you can follow me personally if you want at La Morenita with 3 A's at the end.
My Instagram is private, thank you.
Oh. Well then.
Oh, well, we have a Twitter too. Let's Give Crew. Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, we have a Twitter. I follow us and I retweet every time. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Right, well, you can follow. I guess he's the person in charge of the Twitter. So
I am not, actually. I just follow it.
All right. Well, look them down. Look, try to find, like, if you see a like, go on the like section and see if you can find them.
We'll see if you can find me.
I found it pretty easy, but all right. All right, well, you know what? Like I said, I like to play a game called Sevens. Okay. So for any new listeners, Sevens is essentially like heads up, where like I'm at my phone. It's a word association game. So you pick a category and you pretty much try to guess what I'm looking at. So so the categories are okay, before I even go on the category, so the whole point of this thing, so at the end of the year I'm gonna give my guests with high score, I'm gonna give them something. So far, like, I'm gonna give a fan of myself, give me the thumbs up. So either like, so you could post it somewhere so you remind yourself that you were here, or that you never want to come here ever again. It's really up to you. You can put it on the toilet if you want. I don't really care. It's wherever you want it. All right, so the highest score so far is 32, set by Marty Moose of 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty, and then this Oxnard. So pretty much it's 7 questions. You have 7 seconds to answer each question. The faster you answer the questions, the more points you get. So the total points, the most points you could get is 49. It's really, really hard to get 49 because you practically have to say what I'm looking at before I even say it. And I'm not good at giving clues. So that's the challenge.
Okay, and
she's very competitive.
Yeah, we'll see. Both of us can just shout out the answer.
Yeah, no, so basically, like, you guys are going to give to each other. Like, I'm not even going to do it anymore. You're not changing my mind. You guys give to each other, and whoever sets the highest score gets the prize.
What? No, we want to work it as a team. Two minds.
Because I've never done any. Like, I've never done that with anybody else, so it's not fair to other people that I've had.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Fairness.
You know what? Like, I'll do it. I'll give you the clue, so it could be equally, like, challenging for both of you. Okay. All right. So, the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the corresponding music, and the 2000s, and their corresponding music, stand-up, superhero, movie, action, movie, comedy, movie, rom-com, movie, award winners, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. So like I said, go for something that you feel I'm going to be good at, and you're going to be good at. So the challenge is trying to find out what I'm good at, see? So who's going to go first? So Jeffrey, what do you pick?
Superhero movies.
I knew you were gonna pick that.
Like I said, make sure I'm good at it. So I'm not. So there you go. The female of it could be a bug. Played by Justin Sun, my bad. Okay, has a shield.
Wonder Woman.
No, has a shield.
Captain America.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what this is.
No.
I can't tell you. I swear, I don't know.
Okay, next one.
I can't.
Oh,
Fly. Well, it's the newspaper of Spider-Man, where he works.
The Daily Bugle.
It's the, not Iron Man, but the other one. He's just like Iron Man.
Batman.
No, he's just like Iron Man.
Just like Iron Man.
He's the same suit. When you read people's mind, you're a...
Telepathic.
And then with the hammer.
A Thor.
Alright, so it was Black Widow. That's where I got stuck. It was a bug. I was trying to say the female, like, in the girl. I was trying to actually name Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
There we go. I got stuck. And then Captain America. I don't know who Jimmy Olsen is.
Yeah, do I? Jimmy Olsen.
See, and then you said it was the Daily Planet. I gave it to you.
Oh, okay.
So close enough. And then War Machine. It's like
War Iron Machine. Man. Yeah, that's Iron what Man. You meant. Okay.
Yeah, and then telepath. You read somebody's mind, and then Thor. So you got 14.
Okay.
All right. So what about Morenita?
What are the beginning categories?
The beginning, general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and their corresponding music, stand-up, superhero, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. The rest of them, they're only, I got this game off of a podcast, so you need to listen to them to be able to know what's going on those, so I don't even...
Okay, so how much just go with food?
All right. You saw my stomach. That was a good clue. I'm not really good at it either, so. Not breakfast, not dinner, then between.
Lunch?
Yeah. It's green. Looks like it's like good for your lungs. It's green.
Spinach?
Yeah.
Oh.
You put it on chicken. So good, I'm gonna slap your mama. But
seasoning?
It's hot spicy. Sauce? Yeah. Ooh. Okay, it's. Bill Cosby used to love this.
Oh, I.
It's okay. There's different flavors. It's made out of gelatin. When you eat snails.
Escargot.
It's made out of garbanzo beans. It's like a paste.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know what garbanzo beans are.
Hummus.
Yeah.
Oh, hummus.
Okay, like Indian. What's it called? Like
pita bread?
It's really spicy.
Oh, curry.
Yeah.
Ha.
All right, well, I don't know how, but you got 11.
11?
Yeah. That was...
I scored higher?
Yeah.
What? What?
Alright, do you wanna like try go for something else, or are you happy with those scores?
Cause
you...
I'll go with movies.
Alright, movies. Alright.
Action movies.
Movies, action.
Why am I gonna love it?
Because you kinda slow. You were kinda slow.
Yeah.
You said movie action, right?
Movie action.
Alright. Part two. Let's see. It's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Titanic?
It's like they're like cowboys. Okay, never mind. I think Born Supremacy, the main act, like not the
Matt
actor,
Damon?
But like the character.
Oh,
I don't know who he is, man. See, why do I do this to you?
Why did you tell me you weren't good at action movies?
Okay, it's like Jackie Chan.
He's like Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Like, what am I doing? Like,
punching.
Yeah.
Woo. Oh my god.
Go on.
It's like when you eat food and then I don't know, and then you belly, big belly. Okay. Oh,
pregnant. No.
The Chamber of Secrets.
But Harry Potter.
Yeah. All right. So you got what, 8?
No.
I don't know.
Maybe the better you are at this game, the lower score you get.
Oh well, I mean, I can't control none of that. Oh, it's okay. I don't know what child young fat is. I don't know who he is. I don't know what it is. And then Action Jackson, I don't know what that is. And John Connor, isn't he from the
John Connor? Oh no, that's Terminator.
Ah, okay, whatever. So you guys zero. All right, well, my bad.
I'm sticking with the 11 because it was higher than him.
Okay, well,
no, we'll stick with my highest score.
What?
So if you want to beat his score, you gotta get something like 15 or something.
No, I'm staying.
All right, with 11. All right, well, I guess they don't want to win the prizes, guys. Alright, well, you know what? Before we go, let me give you guys my plug. So, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. You gotta look up Let Me Know Pod. You can find me on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify. You know what? Just don't even, like, just go on Google and Google me. Let Me Know Pod, and that's where you can listen to me. Alright? Let's just make it simple for you guys. Remember, if I got stickers, so all you gotta do is send me a DM, and I'll send a sticker completely free your way. All right, guys, you know what? I'm out of breath.
Can I get a sticker?
Yeah, of course. Okay, you get a sticker. All right, well, I'm out of breath. I'm really hot. So, you know what? I'm just going to let you guys go. But before I go, I just want to thank you guys for letting me be a part of your day. All right, guys, until next time. Bye.
Sided labels erasing my complexities. Are you promiscuous or do you live respectably? And while you're at it, girl, tell me your ethnicity and mark the checkbox of who you are essentially. But I'm on the fence and they telling me to pick a side, but they're both my home, so where do I really reside? And your Khalifa's is the only place I've ever known, but all these faults and betrayals, I feel I don't belong. And my indigenous history was erased on purpose, so tell me what is left to be embraced. I'm hurting for a space to recreate a sense of wholeness, so that will help alleviate the stress to choose between two parts of me. Many personalities embracing all my faculties, healing the splits, sustaining contradictions, self-defining and in control of my description.
Told I was supposed to be your man and not cry, but in my room I shed some tears and thought while we comply. Anger burst, calm subsides, should I just cross the line? My feelings are falsified, dreaming is nonsense, right? But my every thought will be brought out into existence. A delicate link with my melanin experience. Never ending sequence of beatings, feeling defeated, pockets empty, still spending, tempted by greed gifts. We live, not even making minimum wages. People that are walking our aim, spending the minutes in cages. Living in anguish, translated to poetry on pages. Speaking two tongues, both to colonize language. Talk about freedom, but to the bottle I'm enslaved in. How do I shed hypocrisy? Darkness is still a part of me. Light a cigarette, even when it's hard to breathe. Shit. That's all that was taught to me. The stormy weather, give blades like sage are even better. I read these letters, I got the treasure. Now I need to measure my pleasure. Stressed across the benches, my esteem at the trenches. Separated with fences and delegated pension. Oh God, I hate the spending, can't tolerate what's trending. Locked with the clock, I'm in the past, and going goth. Bending facts and holding off, folding pants with stolen socks. You're gonna need your own stance to be a boss. Compared to round, looking lost, just
because you're in the safe zone. Don't mean women are getting raped on the way home. Say static, I'll explain on. These men ain't worried about who shamed and getting blamed on. This is not the same song. Discussions fade and no statement is made. They need repercussions, not fussing on what they say. On my behalf, I'm enraged. Your ego is your plague. Information you stop in case of comfort, it's a privilege. At the end of the day, hard to accept what's coming. Conditions are old age. Captivate the renegade, saturate the barricade, infatuated with love and praise.
Bounce, bounce, yeah, bounce, stop what you're doing and bounce, bounce, bounce. Bounce, yeah, bounce, stop what you're doing and bounce.